the Junk Time AFL podcast for February 2018. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who was at Jordan Ngoi's house on Saturday night. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Good to be here. Excited to be back for February, and it's been a massive weekend. So, as you mentioned there, I was with Jordy all Saturday, and let me. Can I tell you my side of events?
Walk us through it all.
I mean, everyone's heard what happened to Jordan's side of the story and what's going on.
You were getting matching tattoos, weren't you? You were getting the matching tattoos on the stomach.
Well, I thought because he's got kissing skulls on his stomach.
It is a fantastic look.
I thought we were going to get, I'll get a skull, he'll get a skull, like best friends.
Yep,
and they kiss together when we hug.
BFFs, yeah, perfect.
Exactly. I thought that was what was going to happen. Anyway, I'm around at Geordie's, right? We're hanging out, having a barbecue. And I said to Geordie, mate, I've got a hankering for a Zupa Duper. Now, I don't know why, but it's in my head. I would love a Zupa Duper, okay? And he said, I haven't got any Zupa Dupers. And I said, well, Geordie, DeGoey, DG, mm-hmm. we got a fucking problem, all right? I said, you, my friend, are going to go out and you are going to get some Zupa Dupers. Okay. They're just, you can get them at Coles. You can get them in like packs of 20, packs of 30, I think it is.
Yeah, every variety.
Every colour under the rainbow. The rainbow colours, because, you know, AFL, it's an open, it supports everybody. So he said, I've had a couple of beers. I said, yeah, so what, mate? Who cares? Like, how many you had? And he said, oh, probably about a dozen. I was like, yeah, but you got good skin folds that hardly touch the sides. And you know the old rhyme, more than nine, you'll be fine. Right? And he said, Rosie, I don't think I can drink. I said, yeah, but you're going to be okay. And he said, but I'm on my P's. And I was like, yeah, but you take them off. That way it doesn't matter.
This is a really long story. Can I tell you that? It's a really long story.
Mate, I'm getting to the point, okay. Right? I said, take the pee plates off. Anyway, he said, but I can't. The Coles is it's in the back streets of South Melbourne, Port Melbourne. And I said, mate, go down Beaconsfield Parade. The cops are never going to fucking be on Beaconsfield. They're always looking for people at the back streets.
Yep. So
anyway, what happened next is he got pulled over and he was Blue Point 095.
Now, unfortunately, he's been suspended indefinitely. Is that right?
Well, he chose. He chose that, Michael.
Oh, really?
That's the kind of good bloke he is. He said, you know what, guys? I'll indefinite. Don't put a time limit on it. It could be 12 weeks. It could be 14 weeks. It could be 3 days.
So last year we had the adventure where he hurt his hand. Is that correct? Getting a bit of blue, and he blamed the dog for that.
He did blame the dog. And Bucks came out and defended him. So Bucks looked like an idiot.
Mate, Bucks looked like an idiot, yeah.
An idiot.
And then he went and did this on the weekend. So he goes back to the twos. He goes and trains with the twos, doesn't he? He doesn't actually train with the main group.
No, so he's got to train at night. He's got to have a job for 4 weeks.
No way.
It's a self-imposed alcohol ban.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a look at his mates. I think they're really concerned about his, like, childhood mates. That's who, apparently, as well as me, he was hanging out with some mates, and the club have gone, well, clearly there's an issue with who you hang out with.
You're being led astray. So we've got another little rat pack 2.0 going on.
Well, I think it's like a solo. It's just a rat. I don't think there's any pack to it. Can you imagine? Because they said he was inconsolable once he realised what he'd done. And obviously, you know, he wasn't inconsolable to get into the car. But once he drove through the booze bus, he went, oh, fuck, I'm in trouble here. Can you imagine the phone call to Jeff Walsh, the footy manager?
It wouldn't be much fun. And also, you begin to wonder now, too, what faith the club will have in you. And you go, am I beginning to just throw away a career just through doing a couple of stupid things?
Yeah.
You know, he won't get too many more chances, will he?
But how do you reckon it goes? He goes, hey, Walshy, it's Geordie. Yeah, mate, yeah, I had a ripper. Ripper Saturday. Got a bit of a bombshell for you. I may have had a couple of beers, mate. And he's like, oh, really? That's cool, mate. It's a Saturday afternoon. Don't stress. Your skin folds won't get that high.
Yeah, before you panic, okay, my dog's fine, okay? My dog's fine.
Yeah. May have gotten behind the wheel there, Jeffy boy. So, so he's in a bit of trouble. But, you know, indefinite. I mean, he could be out for 3 years. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's until he shows to the club that he can be trusted.
How are you feeling after the weekend?
Well, can we just firstly say, I mean, it was an exciting weekend for everyone. Now, I am in Wayne Jackson Studios. You, Michael, are up in Rod Carter Studios once again.
Rod Carter Studios up here in Sydney, yes, taking full advantage of the wonderful facilities here.
Now, of course, we are talking about the magnificent AFLX, which kicked off on the Thursday night in Adelaide at Hindmarsh Stadium. And can I just say, like, no one was more pumped for AFLX than us.
Yep.
Okay, but I've got to say, 10 minutes into the first game, 10 minutes in, and the AFL ruined what was going to be a fantastic spectacle. Now, we know and love the AFLX. We expect silver balls, right? 10 minutes in, they changed the balls. They said people couldn't see them. They said the crowd couldn't see them. They said it was horrible on the broadcast. They said the players were struggling. Now, you can't fuck with tradition like that, Michael. We are set for a silver ball game, and they changed it on us.
You know how I feel. I sank all of my money into a company that manufactures silver balls. I'm toast. I've lost everything.
You've got a warehouse with like 5 million balls in it.
But there is a dude somewhere with a whole bunch of silver balls going, these are going to fly off the shelves. Oh, what? What? How long? How long did it take?
The AFL, fuck, they spent a lot of money on that. Did you know, obviously there was the AFLX launch, because we haven't spoken since they've done everything for this. They had, and nothing says to me AFLX like 1920 strongmen.
They did. They had the strongmen. They had the people with the hula hoops, right? And they also had the people, what do you call them? They'd be climbing on each other. What would you call that?
Like acrobats?
Acrobats, yeah, that'd be a good word for it. And then they had a guy dressed as a football. Would that be right?
Yes. But he was dressed as a red football, which, again, confusing. Gil was holding a silver ball.
Yeah.
They got strong men. They got a big ball. Did you know the X that was in the background, right, they paid $10,000 for each of those giant X's?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was massive, yeah. Where do you get something like that made? And then also the trophy. You saw the trophy, didn't you?
I have not seen the trophy, no.
Oh, haven't you? Oh, the trophy is like this funky, well, it's an X. It's like this large X that I suppose you, it's more a plaque than anything, I suppose.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, you actually did get a trophy kind of to pose with after you won the grand final. Now, I mean, I am still obviously pretty broken up about the Hawks going down to the grand final on Friday night.
It's pretty tough. You've fucking suffered a lot as a Hawthorn supporter lately.
Yeah, AFLX is just the cherry on top. Yeah. It's hard to watch. I know when the replay comes on Fox Footy, you know how you
switch off.
You can't watch it.
Well, as a Carlton supporter, it was delightful to lose in 20 minutes rather than suffering through 2 hours. You know what was really strange? Okay, so they bring this game in. They want a hybrid game. They want a quick, punchy game. It's like the 2020 of the football world. Yeah. Yet the game, like the night, the broadcast went for like 3.5 hours. It went for another hour and a half on top of a normal football game. Well, it was bizarre.
As you know, I went.
Yes, so you went to the Saturday afternoon game in Allianz Stadium.
Yeah, in Sydney. So let me think. I got there. Yeah, I got there. Started the first game, and then
You have gone way too far ahead.
Yeah, sure. Let's build up.
Yeah. What was?
I chucked down my $15.
Yeah, how was it getting tickets? Were the lines out to like Bondi? Like, so, how did it go?
I saw some kind of tweet at the front. Someone had a large line before it kicked off. Now, the TV coverage, I don't know how many shots of the crowd they actually had, but the TV coverage was a bit deceptive because the non-camera side, or the side that you saw, that was quite empty, but that was also in the sun. So the other side of the ground was pretty full. Like, the bottom level was pretty full.
Really?
And then there were people on the second level as well. Quite a nice little stadium, Allianz. I've never been there before.
Well, it's perfect for AFLX, as we've always said.
Wandered up to there. Obviously, a lot of scalpers up there.
How much were tickets going for?
I saw people holding signs, you know, 2 tickets, $5,000. And then we headed in. They're headed in with my friend Craig Quarterman, coming to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April, folks. They get on board.
Can I just ask, which 6 teams were in your 2 pools?
Yep, so we had Richmond, we had the 2 Sydney teams, we had Brisbane, we had the Gold Coast, and we had the Doggies.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a bit of support for both the Swans and the Giants. There were a few Richmond fans around. I suppose there are Richmond fans everywhere.
Yeah.
It was it was kind of pleasant. It was quite a pleasant day, but it was just kind of pleasant. Like, the football was entertaining. They seemed to be kicking every little goal they tried from the boundary. Like, they seemed to all be going through.
Okay.
And then you had the Zupa goals, and the big smoke machines would go off, and there were flames as well.
Can I just say, though, I mean, the Zupa goals, I think people are understating them. To see an AFL footballer kick a goal from outside 40.
Yeah, but did they have to
that
go...
Is,
did they have to go through on the full?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
To get your full value. Otherwise, it's not Zupa.
No.
You're a
no,
fucking idiot. Why did you even ask that?
Yeah, so they had the acrobats, and they had the hula hoop people, and they kind of had a kids section that had one end of the ground on the actual ground itself, which had a few games, and I was going to try and get onto that section, but you needed a wristband.
Good. People were in beanbags, weren't they, behind
the
goals?
Yeah, behind the goals, yeah. A bit like sometimes in the cricket when they'll put a bit of fun and games around the boundary during 2020 or whatever.
Oh, so was there a pool? Were people sitting in a pool?
No pool. Fuck. We can only dream.
Yeah, true. That would have been nice.
Fair point. But it was pretty entertaining. Like, it was just relaxed, and there was good skills. It was fast-paced. No one got tackled. There was one guy, let me think, it was a Brisbane player who bumped another player, and it was a little bit, why'd you do that? Like, it was actually a proper hit. And it was like, it's a bit rough for what this is, but also...
Yeah, yeah. Fuck off, mate.
Yeah, it was a bit kind of like... What did you do that for? Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't be doing that shit. Can I just say, probably the most exciting thing for anyone watching AFLX is James Brayshaw. He was back.
He's back on the coverage. So was it on Channel 7 or was it just on Fox Footy?
I think it was on, like, because Channel 7 is showing the Winter Olympics at the moment, so that was on the main channel. So I think it was on, like, 7, 2, Mate, B, Part 3.
Gotcha.
It wasn't easy to find. I couldn't find it on my Foxtel, so I just had it on the Foxtel coverage. So I got a bit of Jono and Nicky Dowell, and then it switched over to the Bristle and James Brayshaw.
So Jono, John Brown?
What's his name from
Footscray? Smiling Assassin, yeah, gotcha.
Yes, that one.
Yeah,
sorry,
so I saw Nicky Dowell. Oh, gotcha, because I walked up near the media bit, and I saw Hutto and Nicky Dowell, and I thought, I'm not sure if they're commentating for Foxtel, because they both do SEN as well, don't they?
Yes, so I think they were covering the greater, you know, the they're in the lab.
Oh yeah, the lab. Yeah.
Yeah. So they spent like 3 or 4 hours in the lab before we got to the game.
Well, I'll tell you, they didn't have to analyze pressure acts. That's one thing.
It was off the charts. Like, for AFLX, it was high.
What was I talking about?
So what was your take being there? Was it exciting? Was it
there
fun?
A lot of kids.
Was it a bit
it was
shit?
Fun. No, it was kind of fun. Like, it was a lot of kids and families walking around. Something to do, very cheap, obviously, $15. Kids are probably cheaper than that. Kids might even be free, I'm not sure.
I think they might be, yeah.
I figure it's the kind of thing. I find it odd that they've done this when AFLW is in the second league, but I suppose when's the right time to do this? When do you eventually do it? And you can also see, all they want to do is they just want to create a game that you can play on a soccer field or a rugby field or a American football field. Just so you have that, you can find those little rectangles everywhere, oblong.
But see, is that not going to confuse people? Like, say you're a resident of Shanghai, right? Mm. You are used to the Gold Coast Suns and Port Adelaide coming across annually, right? That's what you said. The moment the fixture's released, you're on the AFL website and you are going, when are these guys coming over? And then all of a sudden there's this hybrid game. You're going, what? Hang on, a Zupa goal? I don't even know what a Zupa is. They're banned in this country. It's just too confusing for foreign fans.
I think it's a great initiative. And also, if you think about the shape of the court, we can play this game on a tennis court too. So you could maybe have 3-for-3 AFLX.
Yeah. So a Zupa's just kick out. When you kick it out, it's just Zupa for Zupa. Just one kick. That's a shootout. You asked, when is the right time to play this? Because obviously it's clashing with the women's game right now.
Yep.
They're not going to do it in November or, December when players are away and all that sort of stuff. What about we have a mad AFLX? So everyone's done and you get the players on their mad Monday, sponsored by Carlton Draft. There's no Zupa goal.
Play one, okay. Play an AFLX.
Yeah.
Yep, on the Monday post, like round 20, 23 or whatever.
Yeah.
So the ones who haven't made the finals, they play in FLX. Yeah, actually. Now you're talking.
Perfect. So you get a couple of fucking froths into the boys.
Yep.
Billy Brownless has commentated because he fucking loves it.
You could see that, though, actually becoming a thing during the finals campaign or something like that, if they want to put on a little display of something, or put even at halftime, you have a little AFLX, don't you?
Really? You think that could happen?
You could have that. You could do that, couldn't you? I mean, actually...
So you probably have representative sides. So you'd see a side that might be like 9th or 10th coming into round 23.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, mate, go easy. We've got a fucking we're gonna represent the Vics in the AFLX during the first qualifying final.
One thing I loved about it too, like if I was a player, I'd be a little bit concerned if I got picked for AFLX because that
yeah
probably,
right.
That, I mean, I know some people they kind of picked them because they go, oh, you know, they seem to have the right body type for it. But
yeah.
There are a few people who'd be like, oh, really? They think that little of me that I've got to play in it. I loved how Nat Fyfe. Nat Fyfe just dropped out. Nat, as soon as they mentioned Nat Fyfe's name, he's like. You realise I'm not fucking doing that.
No, mate. That was the sports scientist pulling him out. He wanted to play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the sports scientist overruled. Like, if Nat Fyfe, if they get into a grand final and Nat Fyfe is looking a little bit like he may tear a hamstring, the sports scientist will go up to Rossi and be like, mate, he can't play. You got to save him for AFLX next year. But Matt Jack Dore, he played. He's going to play in the ones this year.
Yeah, yeah. No, Jack Gunson played and the like. But there weren't too many. There weren't too many stars running around, I think, on the weekend. Early footballers in real life.
Did you see a few at the game?
Yeah, yeah. The Swans squad was there. I saw Buddy on the big screen. But GWS Giants was sitting right across the aisle from me. So a whole bunch of them.
And which champions of the GWS team did you recognise?
There was the dreamy Phil Davis. And then there was John Patton. He seemed to be getting a lot of the photo hunters. I was about to say autograph hunters. But a lot of people coming up wanting to get a photo with him. So your mate, Toby Green.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. There are a whole bunch of them there. And so they hung around until the Giants finished up playing and then headed off.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But they are out in the open. You come up and have a chat, have a wander over and say good day.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there were a lot of photos taken with Toby Green after he'd snapped someone just by the local police.
But yeah, they got out of there. Giants didn't make the final. And so, yeah, they just got out. It hurt too much.
Can I just say that as a fitness sort of thing, that every player that they spoke to when they came off the ground, they were cooked.
Oh, okay. So yeah, gotcha.
They did run pretty hard, and you know, I mean, you can't do that at training, mate. You know, you got your mat simulation, but when the ball's there to be won, Michael, you know, when there's a super goal on the line, that's when you put your body there.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fun goals and like it was. Yeah, I wonder what they do next year because I don't know. Do you just? I mean, you got to start somewhere, and you got to build it from somewhere. But I suppose
absolutely.
You know, when do you kind of go? Oh well, this isn't worth it. I suppose.
Well, I mean, you know, people mocked Tom Wills, didn't they?
Ah, they laughed at him.
they mocked him.
They laughed at his face.
Said, go back to England, you fucking idiot.
So we'll never catch on, you fucking fool.
You private school wanker. And now look at him. He's got a fucking statue outside the MCG.
Statue at the D. That's awesome. Yeah. He went mad and stabbed himself in the chest. It was a beautiful, heartwarming story. Heartwarming story.
Yeah.
Let's move on. There are many other big events in the world going on.
I can't believe it. Nothing tops AFLX, mate. You know that.
Were you going to talk about Clarko and Chris Scott over at the Super Bowl? Did you see that?
Yeah. Can you... I mean, coaches love to expand their horizons, okay?
Or here's another one. Or was it Brad Scott? We don't know.
It was definitely Chris. So, Clarko and Chris Scott went across to the Super Bowl... And I think they might have done... They always go to a college. They always check out training facilities.
Oh, yeah, a bit of a learning tour.
A learning tour.
Yeah.
And so those two went to the Super Bowl. Not sure what they would have got. I suppose, you know what they probably brought back is the shape of the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For everyone who's playing AFLX.
And a giant Toblerone. You got to get that from Duty Free Airport.
Well, that goes without saying. But, so those two came back. Clarko, I think it was like minus 16 degrees in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it was
and Clarko was in shorts.
Oh, really?
Because he's a fucking hard man who doesn't give a shit about frostbite.
That's awesome. That's my that's my sporting bucket list, I think, a Super Bowl.
Wow.
I need to become mates with Hutchie so he takes me to the Super Bowl with him.
It's just a matter of time. I mean, junk time would be on the Craig Hutchison radar. There is no doubt about that.
Get the tap on the shoulder.
But Clarko came back, mm-hmm. and he was saying that what he loved about the NFL,
yep.
so nothing else. He brought nothing else back, but uh-huh. he said that the way that they treat their coaches, particularly the way they recycle their coaches. Now, the New England Patriots coach, Bill Belichick, he's been at he's the Clarko of the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. So he would have punched a few walls in his day, Bill Belichick.
Oh, there is no doubt about that. He was a failed coach with a few franchises before he finally ended up at New England. And so Clarko is saying that we have cast aside a lot of really quality coaches. You know, like Jared Neesham, gone. on the scrap heap. Mark Neal. You know, yeah. he's never going to coach again. You know, Paul Feltham. Just little Jeff Geeshan. I mean, I can name a few that probably should have gone through the system. Dennis Pagan. Why hasn't he got another game? You know, just players like that.
That is Wayne true, Britton. Though. That is true, though. I mean, I must say, that is true. Like, they do get, they get their 2 or 3 years, and then they, like a Vossi, something like that. Vossi has to go the long way now if he wants to come back and coach. And he most likely just went into it too early. Nathan Buckley, it's a hypothetical, but if he you know got fired after 3 years,
yeah,
I don't know what are his chances of getting another job because he's so affiliated to Collingwood.
Yes, I mean you know you look at Brett Ratton, you know someone who clearly yep. is very well liked by
yep.
Hawthorn,
yep,
and he's doing a fantastic job there.
Yeah, people love Leper down at Richmond.
Yes, and he's doing a great job.
And he inherited a basket case up in Brisbane. So,
nothing but a basket case.
And so now, you know, he's a premiership coach. If you want to say that.
Well, I don't. I don't, and I won't. But I think he's got a point. Like, just because you failed very early on.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Vossi, he didn't do an apprenticeship. Michael, everyone knows.
You got to do your level four, don't you?
Yeah, if you don't have, if you're splashing around in the shallow end with your level three,
yeah,
just fuck off, mate. And don't even bother.
And it's also changed a little bit of late. If I can try and get this right, but there was also for a long time you weren't getting a look in the NFL until you're over 50 at least.
Yeah, I mean the LA Rams coach at the moment, I think he was 31.
Yeah,
when they appointed him, so I guess they are starting to go a little bit younger.
No, they have kind of gone a bit younger now. But back in the day, it was like you had to do 15 years of apprenticeship essentially before.
Yeah,
you had to do your level five before they give you an NFL job.
but I mean, you know, basically what they're saying now is the likes of you know, give Mick Malthouse another go. I mean, sure he you know left a scorched earth policy with the club that he was uh-huh. last at, but everyone's forgiven him. Yeah. No one remembers that. No one remembers that he was a complete cunt at the last team he was at, and everyone fucking hates his guts, and he stuck around far too long and was just there for the money and didn't give a shit about the team that he was coaching and didn't draft very well and wasn't a very good coach, and he brought Daisy across, but no one cares.
I want to see your Tony Shaws, your Tim Watsons. Get them back in the game. People forget that they were coaches.
Yeah, that is very true. I mean, you know, Tony Shaw, he essentially set up a premiership team 11 years later.
Yeah.
People forget that. You know, Tim Watson, I mean, you know, Essendon could be top four. That I put down to Tim Watson.
Wait a second, you coached St Kilda, you fucking idiot.
That is a very good point. I forgot that.
What about John Longmire? You had a story about John Longmire, didn't you? I saw the horse. I saw the horse on the weekend.
Oh, was he strutting around?
Yeah, he was down on the boundary.
Yeah, okay. Well, they did... There was an interview with John Longmire, and he was talking about, you know, what it's like to... He is the most winningest coach in the AFL at the moment. Did you know that?
Yeah, I reckon I would know that. I'm very clever.
Yeah, okay. And he just was talking about a couple of things that, you know, Sydney have had to go through. To stay at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know at they have one of the worst training facilities in the AFL?
Well, let me think. Does he mean by that in terms of like weight rooms and stuff like that? Because I go past that oval, which I've said on the pod before. I go past that. I saw them this morning, actually. I saw the Swans running around. It's quite a lovely oval. Just over,
see,
the road
on the,
from, over the road.
They're on the outside
SCG.
Oval, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, because I imagine they can't get onto the cricket ground for a bit longer.
Yeah,
but they and for obviously for some they can't get on there. But it's a lovely little oval, and then there's just a short little cross. I mean, he might be saying it's dangerous because there are buses coming through. Maybe horses thinking that.
He's worried about players just running out haphazard, going for the ball.
Yeah, maybe the 338 from Clavelli is heading down there, but I'm not sure.
Well, actually, you might have a good point there because that ground that you go past is called the Lakeside Oval,
mm-hmm.
and it's only 109 meters wide. Now, the MCG is 141 metres wide.
Ah,
so
gotcha. Yeah.
If they're doing a simulation of the MCG, that means players are on the road, out on the wing. Like, if they hit the fat side of the ground, that's in front of a bus.
It keeps them on their toes, though, doesn't it? You know?
Well,
Yeah, gotcha. So what did he expand upon that? Was it just the ground, or was it we don't have the anti-gravity machines that we want to have?
Well, they said that the gym is so small that they have to rotate three groups through. They can't all be in there at once, So it's like, oh, Chambo, you've done your bicep curls. Get out for a little bit. We've got Buddy coming in.
Okay. Yeah, well, they've got to run a schedule like that.
Yes.
What else do they do? Oh, and I heard they also just have to carry like 5 kilo bags of potatoes. They can't actually afford real weights.
Is that right? They're going old school. They're going like Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky, yeah. They've got to chase chickens around in the backyard.
Fuck, they're really struggling up in Sydney. I mean, that's because Buddy and Kurt Tippett took all the money. And one other thing he was saying, and he loves being in Sydney. Don't get me wrong. He's a big fan of being up there. It's not too expensive for him to live. He said, you know, it's touch and go sometimes making the rent.
Yeah.
But and that's why he aims for a flag, because the bonus he gets can cover a year's rent. So he's been struggling the last couple of years.
Yeah, that'll look after him, yeah.
Yeah, just getting to a grand final is not enough for Horse. But he said, and I quote here, "The great thing about being in Sydney is there is no other city in the world that has so many professional sports in the one space."
Oh, okay.
Now, I would like to put out there, Horse, what about New York, buddy?
So many professional sports. So what's he mean by that? What does he mean?
Like, well, I guess you've got your AFL, you've got your A-League.
Got your NRL.
Yeah, you've got your, there'd be a rugby union team up there. Yeah. I suppose the cricket is, that's not headquartered in, but you've got cricket there, professional cricket is being played there.
Oh, so he means like headquarters in terms of like the main office is there, or they're run out of that town?
I don't think so. He's just talking about the amount of, of access you can have to other sports. Like, he's just not zoned in.
Okay.
To AFL.
I mean, I find it a little bit disconcerting that you are as doubting of Horse as you are. I mean,
well, I think he's a fool.
I don't remember any times when a horse has not been straight down the line, being above board and honest. So I find it a little bit, a little bit concerning.
Insulting.
A little bit concerning that your attitude to horses is like this. I mean,
I think he's a fool. And I think they don't make the they don't win a flag this year. He's gone on the scrap heap, joining fucking. He's with Mark Neal.
Well, I'm trying to think.
Never want to see him again.
I think I walked by it the other day, but I think the NRL headquarters are they at Fox Studios, or are they? Because there was definitely some kind of rugby thing I walked by that seemed to be a headquarters. Maybe it's for the rugby union, but that was
in Moore Park.
That was at Allianz. So it's just a short walk from the Swans offices. You can head down and get any kind of advice you want.
So you think he's walking in there and go, guys, the press, what do we do? And they're like, God, no, just throw the ball backwards for a while. He's like, all right, boys, I'll see you later. Can't do that. Fuck. Shouldn't have gone there.
Guys, I find when I'm at a urinal, I have an overwhelming urge to...
And what about, it was talked that the Dimmer, the great man, the premiership hero, should be offered more money? Is that what's being thrown around?
Well, I'm trying to work it out. I think it was Danny Frawley was saying that he should be offered maybe up to should be paid more. Coaches essentially should be paid more. And I think the figure they bandied around was about 2.5 a year, which would be a lot more. What would he do? Do you reckon he'd be pushing a million? He'd be pushing a million. He wouldn't be over a million, though, would he?
No, I would have thought like around 800.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty good remuneration. In life?
Yeah, I mean, you have a probably pretty large premiership bonus and stuff like that. And I imagine coaches have a thing as well where we make finals, you get a bonus, you make top four, you get a bonus, whatever,
He's not paying for another meal in Richmond ever again. No. Like, if he dines outside of Richmond, he's a fucking fool.
Well, dude, that has made everyone a life member. All the players became a life member just a few weeks ago. So people have played like, four or five games, wasn't there? Become a life member.
And what's your take on that? Do you think that should have happened? Because life membership used to be like, what was it, 200 or 250 games?
Yeah.
Like, you earned it.
I did think it was stupid the first time I heard it, but then I remembered it was like, 37 years or something like that. And it is so massive. I mean, it's a bit like the English cricket team that all got, well, they get MBEs or whatever.
Yes,
or
that is
whenever
true.
They won the Ashes in 2005. So I do understand that it is a massive story. And let's face it. Richmond aren't going to win another premiership for 37 years.
Well, then should it be bigger than that? Should they all be...
get a statue or something out at Punt Road.
That, fuck. To have 23, because you've got to have Dimmer there. Would you make one for Leper? I mean, he was heart and soul.
Yeah, he's part of it, yeah.
Boot Stutter? I mean, he's fucking gone through. I mean, how much fucking bronze?
They don't have much parking there in the first place, so you got to be mini statues.
Well, no, you know what you do, though? You put them on the ground at Punt Road, so you've got your team to train against.
Are you training against statues?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it. I feel I'm being mocked here.
Oh, I tell you about coaches. What about Rocket Eads? Shows up at Ballin, a suburban team in Melbourne. A pretty good team, actually, I must say. They won a few flags of late. Ballin shows up at Ballin. What's that? Two players who played under him at the Suns just went, oh, what's that? New coach, Rocket Eads. We're fucking out of here.
I think this is my favourite story of all time. So Rocket would be swanning in there. And imagine these guys. They go, my AFL career's over.
Yeah.
Probably get... Is it amateurs that they're playing in?
Semi-professional, I believe. So I think you get a bit of coin.
So you know, you finished up the big contract. You're up for maybe $800 a week, say cash. Bit of a cashy. You know, well played. Here's your envelope. Take it home, have a few brewskis, whatever you want to do with it. Yeah. And they've gone, this is my life for the next few years. I'm young, I'm only in my 20s. You know, I'm Daniel Gorringe, I'm a ruckman, I'm a necessary part of the team. And then they go, oh, your old coach, we're getting rid of him. And you're like, oh, well, they must be making a good decision here.
They had Marty Pask was the coach, Marty Pask.
Former Brisbane player?
Yes, former boyfriend of Liesl Jones, if I'm right. Is that right?
Oh, okay. I don't know the boyfriends of all the local
swimmers,
coaches.
Australian swimmers, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Liesl Jones? Is that her name?
Yeah, that is her name.
Yeah, okay, yes. There we go.
Yeah, okay, no, good on you.
You heard it first.
So anyway, he gets the arse and then they bring in Rocket. And then just imagine sitting there and he goes, hey, I thought you said Rodney Eade. Sorry, I misheard you. And they go, yeah, Rocket. And you go, the cunt from the Gold Coast. They go, yeah. And you're like, you know how we agreed that you'd pay me $800 a week? And they're like, yeah. He goes, you can shove that right up your ass, mate. Why is that? They go, have you ever met that man? What a horrible scenario. You know, you just, and now you've got to go to another club, and they'll probably go to a club that's in the same league.
Yeah.
And therefore, Rocket's going to be getting in, telling all your former teammates that you're an asshole. I don't think it's becoming of Rocket. Yeah. He deserves better than that. He's a good bloke.
It's a bit of a slap in the face for Rocket, hey.
You know, he doesn't deserve this.
They don't lose their spirit to coach, do they? Like, they're just going to keep on doing it, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, most of them, though, when they are finished, might go into, the media.
Yeah,
somewhere,
or even that advisory role. Like, I suppose maybe like a Barmy or a Neil Craig getting around a few clubs.
Yeah, or even like Peter Schwab, who was like head of the umpires, that kind of stuff. So everyone's just gone, oh, no, I don't want Rocket in here. What about if he's heading out? Nah, there's no need for it. What about if we got him on Friday nights? Don't worry about him. Fuck Rocket. He's dead to me.
Hey, did you see that bloke who donated $10 million to Hawthorn?
I hate him.
What's he doing? He's like founded Flight Centre or something like that. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, I think it was, yeah. Okay. I think he's the guy in the cap.
$10 million to the Hawks to be paid over 5 years. He's already donated about five or six over the last few years. And it's to go and pay for their Dingley project, which they say they'll need $100 million for.
And is the state government tipping into that at all?
Do you reckon they are? Maybe they are.
Well, I don't know. It depends on whether or not it's in a contested seat, because that's what happens in Geelong. The state government tips a lot of money in to get the fucking votes, mate.
Yeah, also, and I suppose it depends how much of a community aspect they have to it. Like, the Dockers have a super-duper training centre now, but the government would have forked in for a bit of that because it becomes part of the community. You know, they get to use the pool, swim next to Aaron Sandilands and the like. But $10 million, I wonder. I mean, obviously he has it, but I wonder how much...
Really?
I wonder how much would you be willing to give to your club? Like, that's a massive whack.
Yeah.
Or do you go, I don't think I need to give that to a football club. I wonder how much I'd have to have before I'd go, I'm going to give this to Hawthorn.
Yeah, I mean, the club has brought him a lot of joy. If he owns Flight Centre, he's, in his 60s, he's seen a lot of fucking joy. So for him to $10 million would be nothing.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, sure, true.
I guess. But you know what, Michael? This really annoys me is these rich benefactors just tossing money to the club. I think it's disgusting. You know, you just, mate, mind your own fucking business. No one needs your money, you know? And on a side note, a big hello to all my Vizzy friends who are listening to the show. How you guys going down there at Raheen? We love you. Good stuff. So no need for that. But what do you reckon, like, 10 mil, does he get a say in anything that happens down at Dingley?
Well, he was already a board member, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, I mean, I figure for 10 mil, you do want to have some kind of... You're buying a bit of influence, aren't you? But, I mean, do you want another statue next to the John Kennedy one or something? Or do you want, like, the John Kennedy head knocked off and your head put on?
But I suppose... What about you taking a huge specky over John Kennedy?
I mean, they're going to look after him, aren't they? They're obviously going to, you know, invite him to everything and glad hand him. But yeah, he was on the board for a while and probably has made some influential decisions over the time. But yeah, flicking 10 mil. 10 mil to the club. I think a lot of... I don't know if the club's actively trying to do it, but I'm presuming that a lot of people leave money to clubs in their will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, they probably would. But there's been a little bit of a precedent for this. Well, I remember in the 90s, Diamond Joe Gutnick, the mining magnate.
Oh, yeah. He came in. He probably saved Melbourne, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave a lot of money to Melbourne.
Ian Dicker gave a stack of cash to Hawthorn as well back then, that merger time.
Seems to be a lot of... Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of fucking tax dodge in it. No one's doing it out of the goodness of their heart. I tell you who does do things out of the goodness of their heart, though. And this is one of our favourite people on this show, Brendan Goddard.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hero to not just Essendon and St Kilda people, but just to the greater community. Mm-hmm. You know, he's willing to fall on his sword. That's what I love about BJ, okay? Now, Brendan Goddard has chosen not to, Michael, be a part of Essendon's leadership group this season.
Okay, he got voted in?
Mate, that's the thing. He got voted in.
Yeah. But a landslide, obviously. Landslide.
Oh. It would have been like every player on the list, but and he probably voted for himself.
Yeah.
Knowing BJ.
That's right, with his wrong hand. Make it look a bit less obvious.
And he said, you know, he was going to, because they said it showed great leadership. So he's stepping out of the leadership while showing leadership. That's how many fucking levels this guy operates
on. Gotcha. So he showed great leadership by refusing to be a leader.
Yes.
Now, did he give reasons why he doesn't want to be in the leadership group?
He wanted someone else to come in.
Oh,
he
thought
there's another younger bloke who probably got a couple of votes less than him. Like if Brendan Goddard wins a Brownlow this season, no fucking doubt he'll call up whoever came second. He'll be like, mate, Paddy.
Oh, hand it over, do you say?
He doesn't want it. He doesn't want the responsibility. He's selfless. He'll just go, oh, I don't need this. I've got all the accolades I need. I've been part of losing grand finals. I don't need a fucking Brownlow.
You know when Bob Murphy got handed that medal after the grand final? That was BJ's idea.
It's just the kind of guy. And he said... if he's got an opinion to raise, he'll certainly do it. And I just thought, Brendan Goddard, what? I don't know how they're going to goad that out of him.
He's an introvert.
Yeah, so that's...
He's never met a plate of lollies he hasn't wanted to smash.
No, and he's never blamed anyone else for anything that's happened on the football field, which is what we love about BJ. So good on you, Brendan. We love what you're doing. Now... obviously, we're coming up to the start of the AFL season. We've got the JLT coming up very shortly. And then, of course, we kick off with Carlton Richmond, which means that football stations have started doing their promos with players.
Ah, yeah, great.
So they get them in, say something amusing. What about this guy? You know, spin a footy on your finger, hold it up, look like you're going to balk someone. You know, like the old footy car kind of things.
Yeah.
But when they do that, they get him in, and this is down at Fox Footy, they ask him a few funny questions, so they find out some amusing stuff about their teammates, right? So we'll just let you in, Junk Time. There's a bit of inside info here that can be found on the Herald Sun website. But anyway, did you know, Michael, Hawthorn captain Jared Roughead is a neat freak whose favourite smell is Dettol?
Oh, really? Dettol?
Loves Dettol, mate. You know what he loves to do? He just loves walking around a hospital.
I was going to say, I mean,
Well,
the poor dude, unfortunately, probably spent a bit of time there, hey?
Yeah. So you think he's gotten used to the smell? Loves it. Like, just at home, just, you know, dabs a bit on before he, you know, goes out for a bit of a date, puts a bit of Dettol on.
Getting healthy. That's what happens. It's got what smell.
What footballer doesn't love Denkerup?
Oh, okay.
Don't you love the smell of DP, Denkerup?
Not really. I've never really thought about it. I haven't really had an affinity with DP for a fair while. I mean, I know that it's you've got to be very careful rubbing it on the groin. And then also, I remember playing junior football, probably about under 14s, and one kid was annoying another kid. He flicked Denkerup at the guy and got him in the eye. In the eye.
I'm going to say that would fucking kill.
Oh, dude, he was in so much pain. I went and got him and just put him under the shower for about 10 minutes.
How loose was his eyeball, mate? He was all limbered up.
He was in absolute agony.
I love the smell of Denkerup. Like, occasionally when you go into the change rooms before a game and you smell it, and you're just like, this is footy. This is what footy smells like. The footy record, when you open it, should smell like Denkerup.
Do you want to scratch and sniff in the footy record?
Yeah. Mm. How fucking good would that be?
Scratch that bit of Denkerup. Yeah.
Yeah. Scratch that. It comes with it.
Dipper's Mo.
That kind of thing. Another bit of tidbit. A lot of this is coming from Hawthorn.
Oh, it's quality stuff.
Hawks midfielder Tom Mitchell is a serial Uno, however you want to say
Uno,
it.
Uno, yep.
Uno. And it's alleged he rigs the game, so he gets all the plus four cards.
That's pretty cool. And I also like the idea of, shout out to all the people over the age of 18 who are still playing Uno.
Well, do you think there's a lot of time to kill for players at airports?
Sitting around? I reckon they'd be big in the card games. Yeah, definitely. I would have thought more poker than Uno. And also, I mean, how many footballers can count to four? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But you know, good on him. Good on him. I mean, I don't like the cheating aspect. You know, we don't get into the integrity of the game. Don't need an integrity unit for the Uno games at Hawthorn.
Yeah, you reckon they're down there, Ken Wood?
More fun facts.
And the detectives? We heard you've been cheating the fucking Uno, mate.
That's a draw four.
Melbourne, okay, this is fucking weird. Melbourne full forward Jesse Hogan has an unusual habit of eating watermelon in the shower. Now, what are you doing, Jesse? Like, fuck. Like, firstly, you know what's really delightful is a nice, crisp, cold piece of watermelon.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Not steaming
very
hot.
Very refreshing.
Yeah.
Now, not steaming hot. Not with your mates pissing around you. Not while you're looking at your teammates' dicks.
Do you think there's a possibility that he's eating it in the shower like you might eat a peach over a sink? Like the dripping and you can spit pips out and they just go down the drain? So maybe the water's not actually running. Maybe he's fully clothed.
Eating
watermelon in the shower.
Naked? I'm picturing it naked. I'm sorry. even if the shower's not on, I just like to know that Jesse Hogan eats his fucking watermelon naked.
It's a unique habit to pick up. Yeah. I don't know how you progress from that too. So, watermelon's really delicious.
Sticky hands.
Yeah. I don't like that. But then the progression of like getting closer and closer to the shower. So maybe you try a sink for a while. Then you try the hallway out the front of the bathroom. And then you try the extra shower at home alone, and then you go, no, I got to upgrade this. So you drive to the club, and you wait till after training. G'day, fellas. Who's hungry?
Yeah. Yeah. Is he slicing it in there? Is he making it up while he's in there? Is he buying a quartered one, or is he buying a whole one? Like, he can afford it.
I like to think he hollers it out and wears it as a hat.
Oh, see, he would have, as a Melbourne player, he would have access, like, say he's going to the test cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs a watermelon helmet. He could just go into the showers, eat it while he's doing it, pop out. Bay 13, he's got a helmet on.
Bob's your uncle. Hey, shall we wrap up shortly, Adam?
Mate, one more.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, one more. Yeah, then we'll just...
Can't just shut down these...
We'll do some footballers in real life before we disappear.
Can't just shut down these tidbits, mate. Max Gorn once tied his brother to a cow, which he rates as one of the worst things he did as a kid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I actually did see that one. Tied his brother to the cow. So do you think he tied it to a leg, or get on top of the cow in time to that?
You know what? This needs a lot of... it needs his brother to be involved in it. Like, you can't... cows are big, right? You need to get the fucking rope right around. So you've either pre-tied and you run him over and you fucking just tighten it, or the brother's involved in this and you've just fucked off and left him in a paddock all night.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. Pretty creepy if you do something like that.
Yeah, and then what does the brother do? I mean, you know he's not going to starve to death. He's got a fucking cow attached to him. Just fucking eat your way through it. So, Max Gorn, you're a fucking animal.
With food. He's got milk and meat.
Oh, mate, he's got everything. It's the ultimate paleo diet. Right fucking there.
Okay. Football in real life?
Mm.
From Neve. So this bit ago. Over the weekend, I was on my annual family holiday in Kennet River. And we popped down Wye River to have a brekkie at the general store. In brackets, lovely food. Out of the corner of my eye, I see a man with his shirt off. Bearing in mind it was hot, but it was also pre-10 a.m. at the eatery. I turn to get a good look at who this bloke is, and lo and behold, it's none other than Carlton protege Charlie Curnow. He was with his...
See, can I stop you there? I was going to say, no tops off before 10 a.m, mate. Like, you can't be doing that, but it's Charlie Curnow. Go ahead. Keep going, mate. Great.
Sun's out, guns out, mate.
Yeah.
He was with his girlfriend who was wearing leopard print Birkenstocks and a Kelpie dog. She wasn't wearing a Kelpie dog. There was just a Kelpie dog there. As previously stated, he wasn't wearing a T-shirt. Impressive, tan rigged in brackets. And he did have some casual shorts on. Navy blue, but kind of a wash colour. I think he was eating smashed avo. Must be doing very well with bacon and eggs, but it was a bit difficult to see. My aunt spoke to them briefly when our dogs interacted, and he seemed pretty nice. I hope I've provided great detail and really painted a picture here. Thank you, Neve. You did provide great detail right there.
And we do appreciate it. And, you know, Charlie is from the they're from the greater Geelong area. So, you know, he's sticking local.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Probably dropped into Paddy Dangerfield's place on the way through Moggs Creek.
Yep. Let me think from Adrian. This morning I spied Darrell Wakeland's recurring nightmare, Alistair Lynch. He was walking along the street... alongside the NGV, National Gallery of Victoria, at about 9 a.m. He was wearing his runner shorts and a blue T-shirt. He also had his iPhone with him. He looked fit. Speaking of fit, yesterday I saw Brad Sewell's recurring nightmare, Matthew Lloyd. Lloydo had just finished a coffee at Dundas and Fawcett in Albert Park, suburb of Melbourne, and was also wearing runner's shorts and a T-shirt. He looked absolutely shredded. Drove off in a black Mercedes.
It seems to me you want to see a footballer just hanging out at the cafe.
Yeah, look, a lot of them have a bit of downtime. I mean, let me think. Alistair
well,
Lynch,
that's
doesn't
true.
He have the doesn't he have like a management company or something like that?
Yeah, I think he does, and he's also with Fox Footy, and
yeah.
Fox Footy's not too far from the NGV.
No. Fox Footy gig would be pretty chilled out though during the off season. They don't pop in a great deal, do they? Like they don't just kind of pop in.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon they're watching a lot of Vision, seeing what they can, you know, new ideas for the lab. New names for the fat side of the ground, just little things like that that you and I wouldn't think they do. But that's, you know, it's over the summer when they're just locked away, just thinking of things to talk about.
Hey, we've run out of things to talk about, Adam. Why don't we wrap it up now?
Okay.
We are Junk Time AFL Pod on Twitter, on Facebook. We are Junk Time AFL Pod at Gmail. What about the stubby holders, Adam? How are they flying off the shelves?
They're not. Junktime.bigcartel.com. We've got plenty of footbridges. I mean, it's a footbridge kind of time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've gone past a number of times the footbridge leading over to the SCG. Quite delightful little structure.
So get yourself one of those. I mean, if you know, you know what Jordan DeGoey could have used on Saturday was a chipping out stubby holder, you know, because he's had a couple. I don't know if they were warm. So, Jordy, if you're listening, mate, we'll send it to you. We'll send it to the club. We'll send him one. He's got some downtime.
On the house.
Yeah, he can have it.
We're going to hit the road. Thanks for joining us. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.